Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host in the studio today is Doug Wortham. And on today's show, we're going to talk about Mental Health Awareness Week and discuss the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program with the Minnesota DNR. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, the weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Memorial Day is often referred to as the unofficial start of summer. More importantly, it is our nation's day to remember the brave men and women who gave their lives to ensure freedom for all Americans. It is easy to lose sight of those sacrifices as we're gathering with family and friends or fishing at the lake. Nevertheless, it is important we take time to reflect on these noble service members. I'm reminded of a memorial at Gettysburg recognizing the first Minnesota's historic sacrifice during our Civil War. On it, the inscription reads, "These dead shall not have died in vain. All time is a millennium of their glory." Please join us in this Memorial Day in remembering and honoring the fallen from all branches of our nation's military.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Doug, great message from the Adjutant General today, and I think we're going to have a similar message from the Commissioner. Memorial Day is coming up, and it's one of those days that confuses people. Veterans Day is later in the year. That's where they can thank you and I for our service. But Memorial Day is a day where we remember those that we've lost. I remember people I lost in Vietnam. You remember troops that you lost when you were in the Minnesota National Guard. Very important day to me.
Yeah, it's an absolute important day to recognize those that have served our country and died for the freedoms that we enjoy as American citizens today. So, yes, I have several in mind that I remember every Memorial Day, as well as throughout the rest of the year as well.
And for those listeners that are in or near the Twin Cities or have access to iHeartMedia, we're going to have Doug and I are going to do a special live show from 6 to 9 a.m. Memorial Day with some very special guests and have a thorough discussion of that. And, Doug, it seems appropriate that today, when we're talking about Memorial Day and how that's impacted a lot of veterans and their families and their friends, we've got someone on to talk about mental health awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such an important topic to talk about and bring out in the forefront. And so it's a great pleasure to bring in Molly Smith. Molly is a licensed independent clinical social worker with over a decade of experience working with individuals who struggle with mental illness and or substance abuse. Molly's worked at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system for over 7 years, currently serves as the local recovery coordinator, peer support supervisor, one of six LGBTQ plus veteran care coordinators, and is a liaison to Veterans Mental Health Advisory Council. It's a mouthful, but Molly, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm so fortunate to be here.
You're involved in a lot of things. Obviously, mental health is a passion of yours. Otherwise, you wouldn't still be in the business. You've got a lot of experience in it. But maybe if we can just kind of start off, tell me or tell us a little bit about what got you into the field and then what brought you to the VA.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. And so mental health is very near and dear to my heart for many different reasons, very personal reasons. I've had personal experience with mental health. My family has had experience with mental health. And so it's very important that we talk about this topic. But more importantly, it's just my way of serving and giving back. My grandfather was very close to me, a World War II veteran. And early on, he would take me to Memorial Day events, Veterans Day events, and I was a junior member of the American Legion. So just a very, very great honor to be serving our nation's heroes in this manner.
And so that kind of passion, if you will, brought you into the profession and then eventually to the Minneapolis VA system.
It did. Absolutely. Yes. Minneapolis is very near and dear to my heart. Born, raised, this is home.
Okay. So it's good to be at home. You know, when we talk about the different celebrations or things going on throughout the months, there's always a designated something for a particular month. And in the month of May is Mental Health Month. Can you just tell us a little bit about why is it important to have a month designated as Mental Health Month? And then really, what does it mean?
Yeah, that's great. This actually goes back to the 1940s when our Congress established the first National Mental Health Awareness Month. This was in response to World War II veterans coming home. We were seeing a lot of those veterans struggling with mental health in some way. And ever since then, we have kept on with the tradition of Mental Health Month and doing various different activities in a way to go ahead and recognize that, but pay attention because everyone has mental health.
And, you know, maybe one of the confusing things might be there's mental health and there's mental illness. So can you explain a little bit about what the difference is between mental health and mental illness?
Yeah, thank you. So mental health, as I had mentioned, that's an everybody thing. Everybody has mental health. We need to be paying attention to that. Mental health impacts everything about us, how we think, how we feel, what we do, our mood, our social network, and how we engage with others, and how we even do our work. So that's an everybody thing, right? Mental illness, however, is when we start to notice some difficulties in doing those tasks. So maybe our thoughts just aren't online. Maybe they're a little bit more negative, right? Or maybe we're having some thoughts of suicide or hurting ourselves or hurting others. Maybe we're acting in a way that seems a little rash, and there's some warning signs coming up. So mental illness, what we see is when things are starting to get in the way. There's barriers to how we're working, how we're engaging with other people. We're not living our best life when we're starting to see mental illness seep in.
And poor mental health doesn't necessarily mean it's going to lead to mental illness, but if you can get control of it, it certainly will help to prevent that from happening, right?
Absolutely. So mental health, remember, living a human life means we're going to have ups and downs, right? This isn't meant to be a perfect journey. Perfection does not exist. So we're meant to have highs and lows, but not extreme highs, not extreme lows. If we're noticing those extremes, that's a great warning sign for this might be mental illness. And that's where we can really get outside help, right? Getting connected to whether it's your primary care provider, to a mental health professional, to get that treatment for what might be going on, get the support and resources, because mental illness is incredibly common. About 1 in 5 Americans will experience a mental health diagnosis within any given year. 50% of Americans throughout the course of their life will experience a mental health illness. And veterans are even at a higher risk than that of experiencing mental health struggles. So it's very common. And the great news is that it's treatable. Help is real. It's okay to not be okay. And more importantly, it's okay to say, I'm not okay and I need some help right now.
Yeah, because that's a question I was going to ask you is, you know, there has often been some type of a stigma tied to talking about or at least acknowledging that maybe I have some type of a mental health issue, concern. But even though the stigma might be there, we should understand that it is okay.
Absolutely. And remember, like mental health stigma, this comes from a real place of, oh, this makes sense why this stigma exists, right? Because back in the day, you were labeled as crazy or put into these psychiatric units where they, you know, did certain things that were just horrendous. And especially when we look at our veterans, right? Some folks, when they're experiencing mental health struggles, what we see is that they could be potentially dishonorably discharged. Now, remember, veterans, you know, have benefits that are associated with their service. So this is, in essence, a threat to potentially their finances, their medical health care coverage, you know, student loans, you know, through the government. So many things are connected to that.
And I like the way you describe the difference of the mental health versus the mental illness, because we all have mental health, and how we deal with it, however, is extremely important.
Absolutely. And how you deal with that, even for your everyday mental health. So what I would say for me personally, right, taking care of yourself is so important. So the basics. Are you drinking enough water? Are you eating food, right? Are you taking your medications if you have some? So all the basics. And sleep. I can't talk enough about sleep. Are you getting enough sleep? Are you getting the right amount of sleep? So all those basics, it's really important for mental health. And in addition to that, I would even say one of the best pieces of advice that I have for folks is boundaries, right? Saying yes to the things that I want and need to say yes to, and saying no to the things that I want and need to say no to.
Well, that's some great advice. And we're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the programs going out at the Minneapolis VA. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We've been speaking with Molly Smith from the Minnesota VA Healthcare System. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host is Doug Wortham, and our guest is Molly Smith from the Minneapolis VA Mental Health, talking about Mental Health Month. And Molly, you and Doug were talking about the difference between mental health and mental illness. And as I listened to your answers, it occurred to me that everything you're talking about is to try to maintain your mental health in between little bouts of mental illness that could be caused by almost anything. Is that the way you think of it?
Yeah, absolutely. So if I were to use an analogy, I probably would say, you know, us as individuals, think of us like cars. We are absolutely not like cars, right? We are human. But think of it like a car. If you're going on the road and you're doing long road trips and you're traveling as fast as you can for as long as you can, but you never put gas in your tank, or you never get an oil change, or you never change around those belts, right? Or that transmission fluid just stays in there for a little too long, you're going to have problems, right? So it's very important that you're taking care of the day-to-day tasks, but even more so than that, it's living that life worth living and doing things that you enjoy, those hobbies, those interests, doing things that you're passionate about and having a sense of purpose and belonging. This is all part of what goes into everyone's mental health, myself included.
So it's all about finding out the solutions or the cure for the little bouts of mental illness and getting back on the road and cruising again.
You got it. So, you know, if you do ever experience a mental illness in your lifetime, that treatment is real, right? It's out there. And what happens with treatment, it's essentially a roadmap for how do we get you back on track to experiencing those, you know, highs and lows that are within that average range, that normal range that we would say of a mental health, where we're not inside that mental illness range anymore.
And I think for our military audience, they would recognize the term of PMCS, and that's that preventive maintenance care and services that you have to do and for your own body, just like you would for a piece of equipment. So extremely important. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on at the VA. Can you tell us how many veterans are enrolled out there and receiving some type of mental health service?
Yeah, great question. So currently right now we have a little over of 127,000 veterans enrolled in our Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Now, over 104,000 of those veterans receive treatment from Minneapolis VA. And of that number, we have 21% of veterans that are receiving some type of mental health service. So remember, 21%, that goes back to that 1 in 5 number of those U.S. Americans that I mentioned, right, that are experiencing a diagnosable mental health issue within any given year. And remember what else I said. We have veterans that are experiencing mental health struggles at a higher rate. So there's still more work to be done to get those services to those veterans in need.
So when we talk about the services, and it kind of relates right into the next question, right? You know, you gave the analogy of the car, and I talked about how we got to do some preventive maintenance, right? So what are some of those general tips or things that a person can do just to make sure they are taking care of their mental health, similar to maybe the services they might be receiving out at the VA to help them to keep those highs and lows further and farther between?
Yeah. So really, again, it's living that best life by your design, no one else's. So ultimately, it's how you define that. Suggestions that I would offer would be, again, having all those basics in line, right? The food, the water, the medications if you're taking them. And then what else are we doing to live a life worth living? Where's that sense of purpose and belonging? So that is getting connected to your community. That is making sure that you're doing things that you enjoy. And there are some amazing resources at VA to support you. So we have, for instance, online through va.gov, we have some really great mental health screening tools. These tools are for depression, PTSD, substance abuse, alcohol use. These are confidential, free screening tools, almost a little temperature check just to see where are you at and is our services recommended or not. We also have some amazing VA apps, and I have so many that I just really love. Some of these VA apps, well, all of these VA apps are free and available to anyone. So just go to your app store, go online and search for them. But there's things like such as mindfulness. There's couples counseling apps on there. There's information for PTSD or depression or insomnia. Again, just apps to support you in living your best life. And then ultimately, where's that peer support for you, right? How are you connecting to other individuals that are going through similar life experiences? Because that also is such an important factor into anyone's mental health.
And I want to talk about that connection in just a minute, but structure to your life. You're talking about, hey, drink enough water, eat the right type of foods. Those types of things seems like an added layer of structure into someone's life. Is that what that's designed to do, to help keep you inside that band of excellence, so to speak?
Yeah, you got it. And so very similar to how you might take care of a plant, right? So you see a plant doing really well when it's in the right environment. So is it getting enough sunlight? Is it getting enough water? Is it getting the nutrients that it needs, right? So in addition to all of those things, I would say you also need to make sure that you're in the right place at the right time. So sometimes, for instance, it might be, gosh, this used to be a really great job for me, but now I'm just noticing I'm struggling so much, which could be a sign of, hey, my mental health isn't doing so well, or there might be a mental illness lingering in the bay. But if I were to change jobs and maybe be in a different environment, would that be helpful for me? Maybe.
And one of these resources certainly could help to identify whether or not that might be the case. So let's talk about resources, specifically the peer support piece of it, because you are the supervisor for peer support. And I know that you're really passionate about what peer support has to offer and where it's going. So tell us a little bit about that and what it means.
Yeah, peer support is a phenomenal relatively new discipline. And so for VA peer support staff, right, what this means is that these are full-time paid employees at Minneapolis VA. They are veterans with lived experience of mental illness and or substance use. They're all in recovery in their own way, and they use their recovery story as part of their work. And truly, if we're talking about really eliminating mental health stigma, what we need to do is to create a safe and welcoming environment where it is okay to talk about mental health and it's okay to talk about the struggle. These individuals, these peer support staff that we have, they make it safe. They make it okay. And they're just wonderful.
I would imagine that because they are veterans, because they've gone through, had these similar experiences, there must be an immediate level of credibility that comes along with them when they're working with people who are starting their own journey with mental health problems or issues.
Absolutely. They have walked similar paths. They have been in similar boots. They know what military culture is like. And they have their own experiences with it. And the great thing is that they're more than happy to share it.
And so what about the program's life? Like, where is it going? Is it expanding into anything else? Is it where you want it to be as the supervisor? What's in the future for the peer support?
Well, currently, we have 5 current positions at VA for peer specialists. We are expanding from a team of 5 to a team of 12. So we're more than doubling with brand new positions to meet the needs of veterans in more areas. Now, absolutely, my vision for peer support is I go big or I go home. That's my own style. And my own truest belief is that we absolutely need a peer specialist at every table at VA because, again, these are veterans with lived experience of mental illness and or substance use, and they share their recovery story in their work.
And what a great resource as we talk about the importance to bring up, have conversations with any luck. This broadcast will then drive additional veterans, service members to the VA that maybe have been kind of questionable about whether or not they should even go and get some help. But now that they know there's somebody there that has gone through the exact same thing they have, they're veterans themselves, it might open up some new doors and opportunities.
Absolutely. One of the biggest pieces of constructive criticism that we receive at VA is that there's not enough veterans as VA staff. Right. And here, and especially for your listeners, I want you all to know that we hear you, we see you, and we are absolutely expanding our peer support program to provide those services to meet you where you're at so that you really do feel safe, you feel seen, you feel heard, and that this space is for you.
So we've got about 20 seconds. how can veterans access mental health care at the Minneapolis VA?
Oh my gosh, there are so many paths. There is no wrong door. So I would say, first off, if you're already connected to Minneapolis VA and you have a primary care provider, that would be one of the easier paths. Otherwise, we do have our mental health intake department. So you can simply call them at 612-467-1921. That's Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. You can also request an appointment or a meeting in person. So you can just simply walk in to get services. And that is right at Minneapolis VA Medical Center in room 1P170 from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And other paths as well, such as the Veterans Crisis Line. I feel like I absolutely need to mention that. 988. Press 1.
Molly, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today on Minnesota Military Radio. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate the invitation and being here.
That is Molly Smith from the Minneapolis VA, and she's talking about mental health and the programs available out at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host in the studio is Doug Worthen. And in a moment, we're going to discuss the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program with the Minnesota DNR. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Across generations and across centuries, Americans have answered the call to duty. Many have paid the ultimate price. No greater sacrifice could ever be asked of an individual. The service of these veterans have impacted the life of every single citizen in this great nation. It is for that sacrifice that we salute all of our fallen comrades this Memorial Day. At the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, we can't even begin to contemplate the world today had the men and women we honor on Memorial Day not stood fast against our enemies throughout history. It is never over. Missions may end, but legacies remain, and the pain of their absence endures. We will be hosting an in-person, live events at our three state veteran cemeteries this year on Sunday before Memorial Day. For information on Memorial Day events, visit minnesotaveteran.org/events. I will also be co-hosting the 7 o'clock hour of the special 3-hour live edition of the Minnesota Military Radio. The show will air from 6 to 9 a.m. on Memorial Day, Monday, May 30th, on Twin Cities News Talk, a.m., 11:30. This Memorial Day, let us remember, all gave some, and some gave all.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Doug, that was a great interview in the first half about mental health and little mental talent challenges. Seems like I have a few challenges every day, but might not be what you were talking about.
Well, I think we all have challenges, but it was a good conversation and some good tips about how to maintain those highs and lows.
And now we're going to talk about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and our guest is Casey Stanek, who works for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, military outreach representative, chair of the Grand Rapids Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and a military spouse. Casey, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tom. It's a great opportunity.
There's a lot of duties on that list and a lot of things going on in your life.
There are. I'm fortunate for all these angles to come together and then get to share what I know with other people.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but can you tell us, as a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon entity, How did the Minnesota DNR get involved in that, and what was its purpose?
Yeah, so it was back in 2013, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources became one of the first state agencies to be a Yellow Ribbon company. And what that means is we just have strategic support for military personnel, our service members, veterans, and their families. But even before that, the support from the DNR started a decade before that, just having this strategic mission to support the military.
And we were talking before the show, the DNR has some special programs available for disabled veterans to get them out and about and out of the house.
We do, absolutely. So what most people are familiar with are our recreation benefits for military and veterans. And like you're saying, the ones that come to mind for a lot of people are the free fishing license, the free hunting tags, and those are primarily for our 100% service-connected veterans, veterans with 100% service-connected disability. But there are other benefits out there. We have a lot of benefits for our service members who have been deployed and discharged within the last 24 months. And then one of our newest benefits even includes the military families, where dependents can get a free Minnesota State Park pass while their soldier is deployed. So there's a number of benefits out there. But I also want to remind people, while we often think about the fee-based benefits, the fishing licenses, the hunting permits, the state park pass, the Department of Natural Resources manages countless other opportunities that are already free to everyone. We manage state forests, scientific and natural areas. We manage public waters and access to those waters, state trails, and those are facilities that are already free and open to everyone, of course, including our military families.
So, Casey, where do our veterans go to find out information about the resources available from Minnesota DNR?
Yeah, so you can actually go to the DNR website. It is mndnr.gov/military, and there is a benefits selector tool, and you can click in where you fit. You know, if you're a Minnesota resident, if you're active duty, if you're a veteran, select your statuses, and it will pull up exactly what you qualify with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources.
We're talking to Casey Stanek about the Minnesota DNR as a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon entity on Minnesota Military Radio. Casey, I got to get this on the air. Your position with the Minnesota DNR is up in northern Minnesota, and it sounds like a job that thousands of Minnesotans would love to have. Can you tell us about it?
It is. You're exactly right. So I currently live out of Grand Rapids, Minnesota, and I got into the Department of Natural Resources over 15 years ago just because, like many Minnesotans, I love being outdoors, and I had the passion to share that with others. And so I got into our Minnesota State Parks and am currently managing state parks and trails out of the Grand Rapids area. And so that's my primary job. But then on the side, I was given the opportunity to serve as this military outreach representative role. And in that case, be the liaison between the DNR and the military and the veterans. Because as we know, legislation around those benefits can be complicated. And so it was an easy decision to serve as that role on the side as well.
Doug, I think when you retired from the military, you got the wrong job. Should have went up to Grand Rapids.
Well, it's interesting. I was just thinking about how she kind of deflected a little bit and went away from talking about the fun stuff she's doing out on those parks and trails to come in and bring it back to the yellow ribbon stuff that she started out. Because I know what kind of fun you get to have occasionally when you're not doing reports and stuff in rainy weather.
You're exactly right. I mean, it's been kind of fun preparing for fishing opener, preparing for the big Memorial Day camping weekend. And you're exactly right. When I get out of the cities here for the recording, I'll head back to that stuff.
And you know, Tom, those trails, they need to be tested.
It's
they
a nice
do.
Afternoon. Where's my four-wheeler? Let's go out and yeah. make sure the trails are safe for all the people coming on Memorial.
Test those waters, too,
exactly
Casey.
Exactly right.
Okay, now you inherited your role as far as the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon.
I did, yes. And so, like we said, the DNR has been a Yellow Ribbon company since 2013. And being a Yellow Ribbon company is not only providing public benefits, it also provides a variety of employer benefits. So the DNR supports its internal staff employees that are connected to the military, as well as we support the veterans and military service members outside the DNR. And some of those benefits, you know, you and I talked about when my husband went on a deployment, I kind of saw how all these different benefits came together. He also being a state employee, we were able to take advantage of a couple of the state benefits. One of them being, as a state employee, you get pay differential. So if you are going to make less on deployment, the state will actually pay your wage up to what you would make here. Other benefits for employees include 15 paid military days. And so that's important to take care of those drill days. You don't have to use your vacation days. You don't have to do unpaid time. So the DNR as a state agency also supports our staff as well as the public.
Now, when the DNR became Beyond the Yellow Ribbon entity, one of the things that they had to work on was hiring veterans. Do you have a robust program to try to get veterans getting out of the military to come join?
We do, and that continues to be one of our top focuses is this recruitment of military service members and veterans. And I think that program started off as it was the right thing to do, And really now we're focused on, we want the skills that service members and veterans will bring to our team. As we all know, they come with a unique set of leadership skills and skills that they learned in the military, and we want them to bring that to the Department of Natural Resources in whatever division they're a part of, but bring that to the team.
So have you provided resources to help your HR people understand, here was my military career, and what does that mean when I become a state employee working for the DNR?
We have. It has. We have a really, the on up to Commissioner Strowman, the Yellow Ribbon program is completely supported. And actually on our Yellow Ribbon team, one of the seats there is an HR, a human resources position. And that person is the liaison to the rest of human resources. And yeah, we're continually working on making those connections, making those transitions easier for those who want to work for the DNR.
Well, I certainly think if I was coming off active duty or coming out of the military, if I had an opportunity to have your job up in Grand Rapids, I'd jump at it as quick as I could, assuming I was about 50 years younger. So, Doug, I saw you. That's pretty nice. We have to take a short break. We're talking with Casey Stanek from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources about Beyond the Yellow Ribbon on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Doug Wortham is my co-host in the studio today. And we've been talking to Casey Stanek, who works for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources as the military outreach representative for the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon entity and chair of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and a military spouse. Casey, I want to talk to you about military spouse. Your husband serves in the Minnesota National Guard.
Yeah, yep. We're on year 17 in the Minnesota National Guard. And so it's like I said earlier, I'm fortunate to get to see all the angles of what the needs are within a military unit and then also see what the abilities of a Yellow Ribbon company or a Yellow Ribbon community, what they're able to do to support.
And the good news is he can see retirement from here because you got the long stretch behind you. But he's deployed a couple of times.
Yeah. Yeah. And the most recent one was just in 2020. And at that time, we had two young kids. And so he left to Cuba for that deployment. And we were back home. And that's where I really saw all the different connections come together of Yellow Ribbon companies, communities, individuals, and where no one entity can really provide all the support for a military family. It takes all of these coming together. Like I mentioned, as the state agency or a Yellow Ribbon company, they can do things like paid military leave, the pay differential. But then on the other side, the Yellow Ribbon community, Grand Rapids is a Yellow Ribbon community, and they could do the little things like care packages and meals and just the hey, how you doings kind of thing. And then, of course, there's the individuals that just, you know, can reach out and keep that support going during a deployment.
Well, and you told me he also earlier had deployed to Afghanistan. But when he was in Cuba the last time, he had two young kids at home. He kind of had the easy part of it. He fell into the battle rhythm. He knew what he was going to do every day. There were no surprises. You were home alone with your two children and working, and you don't know what's going to happen every day. How did the Yellow Ribbon entities help you? What kind of assistance did you get while he was gone?
Exactly. Yep. And I think, you know, one of the biggest things that helped me is we have a good military network. The unit families come together. Other military families come together at that point. And so that's always an important point during deployment.
Did you get a lot of support from the DNR knowing that your husband was deployed?
Absolutely. And, you know, this deployment was a very unique one because at the same time he was getting deployed, everyone was going through the early stages of the pandemic. And so we had things set out while he was deployed. We were going to go on play dates and we were going to visit family. And, of course, all that went down when the pandemic hit. And so everything changed. It was hard to plan for that one.
Almost the easy part. He went on deployment and then worldwide pandemic and all the rules changed.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's one thing I see, too, with Yellow Ribbon communities and companies. The deployments are sometimes the easy times to support because it's obvious. You kind of know what you need to do. But these days, thankfully, we're seeing fewer deployments. And so it's sometimes less obvious where the military families need that support. And then another Another factor, a lot of the current deployments are stateside, and it's a misconception that that's an easier deployment. Because oftentimes it's a harder deployment because, like you said, my husband could kind of go off and do his mission. I stayed home and did my mission. But when someone is deployed stateside, they're connected on both missions very well. The communication is open to the point where you have to juggle both of those sides a little bit harder.
I want to reiterate the fact that the service member definitely has the easiest job. You at home have a much harder job, but you said that you've experienced all the different angles. And so I'm just wondering if, you know, you were to talk to employers or businesses, the different communities, individuals inside of Minnesota, what advice do you give to them about how they can really help the need of our military community?
Yeah, I think when I'm at these events with the joining community forces, Yellow Ribbon Company conferences, the National Guard staff talk a lot about resiliency. And the resiliency of the family really creates a resilient force. And so it's important to help the family out just as much as you're helping the soldier to create that family resiliency. But things that people can do, I would always say, do what you like to do and what you're able to do. And so for like the Department of Natural Resources, we manage the outdoors, outdoor recreation, we manage nature, and that's where our recreation benefits come in. That what we can provide is that ability to get outdoors. Molly talked about the importance of maintaining good mental health. And I think, as we'd all agree, getting outdoors is one of the best things you can do for your mental health. So for the DNR, we can provide recreation benefits. For other companies, if they can do things like these paid military days, if they can provide flexible schedules, those are all things that really help a military family. Communities, on the other hand, they can do a little bit more about the connections with the local families and just keeping that day-to-day connection with them.
Casey, I'd like to thank you for joining us today and talking about the Minnesota DNR as a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon entity. And I have to tell you, the next time I look out the window on a nice day, I'm going to think about you out checking the trails in northern Minnesota.
And I hope you both come visit me. And, and to our listeners, too, it's Memorial Weekend. Get out there, enjoy the outdoors, take a veteran fishing with you. It's sometimes just what they need.
Thank you, Casey. That was Casey Stanek from the Minnesota Department of DNR and Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard Army, Command Sergeant Major Stefan Whitehead. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Thanks, Doug, for having me today.
So you're in a new position, at least from the viewpoint of Minnesota Military Radio, Senior Enlisted Advisor Army. What's that about?
You know, this last 6 months has been like drinking like a fire hose, I'll tell you that, Tom. You know, with this new role, being the Senior Enlisted Advisor Army, representing the Adjutant General and his mission, taking care of our service members, you know, Army service members across the state of Minnesota, it's been a wonderful job to do. Very challenging to really, when you look at the whole force of over 10,000 service members here in Minnesota, there's a lot of things going on, and just making sure that the Adjutant General's message is being heard by all of our soldiers across the state.
And I understand you've been working very closely with Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson, who is the command chief for the entire Minnesota National Guard.
You know, I couldn't ask for a better battle buddy, you know, with Chief Erickson. You know, she's been a great battle person. We travel everywhere together. Unfortunately, not to, you know, this last trip, she's actually by herself. But, you know, when we're out visiting our service members, our Army and airmen, we're side by side, you know, carrying that message. And it's just been great to have that partner there beside me as we carry that message on.
You know, as the Army representative, Senior Enlisted Advisor for the Army, you obviously got a great force. The Army makes up the majority of the Minnesota National Guard. And I know that that's a big job ahead of you there. But one of the things that you have to do is often fill in for the command senior enlisted leader, which is Chief Erickson. And the reason why we get to talk to you today is because she's out of the country. And so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for you, but you do get to share a little bit with Minnesota Military Radio. So tell us, what is she doing, and what's the importance as it relates to the Minnesota National Guard?
You know, right now I'm filling in for Chief Erickson, obviously, because she's on an important mission as well. You know, we have over 500 of our Army soldiers that are over, you know, scattered all over Europe, and, you know, it would be in three different countries. And she's actually over there visiting with the Adjutant General to check on the soldiers and the training that they're doing. But the bigger piece that she's doing is continuing to build our state partnership relationship with Norway and Croatia. Her and the Adjutant General have spent the last 3 days, you know, in Norway and Croatia, visiting with the senior leadership over there, ensuring that our relationship is strong and continues to build as we, you know, continue to move forward with our relationship, as, you know, with the 34th Infantry Division and the continuing, you know, missions that they're doing. It's important that, you know, Chief Erickson, the Adjutant General, get over there and, you know, relay the importance of how much we really appreciate this relationship with them.
And as the enlisted advisor for the Army, obviously your focus is the Army as the command senior enlisted leader. She needs to focus on the joint aspect, which is why she's overseas in Macedonia.
And that's exactly it. You know, that joint piece and the role as the command senior enlisted leader that she carries, you know, that is such a vital role that here in Minnesota, you know, that we need to have that relationship. So when she's over there, she's meeting with all the senior enlisted leaders for all those other countries, armies, and continuing to build that relationship to ensure that the training that we bring to them over there, as well as the training they bring back here to the Minnesota National Guard, is in line with, you know, improving and getting the quality of our soldiers better.
Sergeant Major, seems like a lot of things going on in Norway. I understand our biggest, newest aircraft carriers over in Norway right now.
And that is true. It's over there right now, ready to do some missions over there.
Exciting things. Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely, Tom and Doug. Thanks for having me today. You know, and I want to wish everybody a great rest of the day, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, sir. That was a senior enlisted advisor, Army Command Sergeant Major Stefan Whitehead. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Molly Smith from the Minneapolis VA, Casey Stanek from the Minnesota DNR, Command Sergeant Major Stefan Whitehead, my co-host, Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp and meet the new commander of the 148th Fighter Wing. It's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota Military Radio.com.